so nervous. Let's see. So I want to thank Steve for inviting me. Doug, thank you so much. I first met Doug 3 years ago. I was introduced to him by Conrad Steiner. It's very stately in the back. I want to thank my personal hype man, Carla. Paul for helping me get here. Riley for helping me choose an outfit this evening.
It's a village, baby.
It really does. I was raised by a single mother who worked a lot all over the world, and she would often tell me when she would leave me in the care of many different people, some known to me, some unknown to me, it takes a village to raise a child, and it takes a village to get a poet to the San Francisco State University. Which is also very funny to be reading in front of all of you. I did not go to college, so just so you know, you can drop out and find yourself talking to... Yeah, I know. Drop out. Man, I've already used up a minute and 14 seconds, so I'm really, like, on a roll here. So I'm going to be reading... I think I'm actually going to read some new work first off of my phone. I'm a millennial. I'm not going to argue against that. And then I'll read from the book, which is the only book I ever wrote, because I'm speaking in the past tense now about my life. Sorry. Also, Lashana Tova to anyone who knows what that means. If you don't know what that means, I hope you have a horrible year. I'm sorry. Right. I, an intellectual, once loved someone pure of heart who let their car get towed away. The vein that connects my heart to my mouth is a ribbon tied around a bomb. I was joking when I said I knew how to read. My vote was cast for kissing by the light of a cop car on fire. My mother tells me that a garden is a prison. She was beautiful, with a face like a melting candle. I'm sure well-loved and well-documented. I know my father had nightmares of limbs of soap hidden among tall grasses. There is carnage in this empty lot. I cemented my banks against the burning plain and drank the wine that flowed from the wounded hand. All day and all night, in complicated love. I loved someone who loved the spirit in the sky, so I tried to fall in love with the sky. Is that when you don't like the person?
Swiping?
Yeah. Riley, do you know?
I don't.
Okay.
Swipe left is don't like.
I can't tell left from right. Sorry. Okay. Got it. Thanks, Greer. So I want to thank Greer for telling me the difference between left and right. Okay. You wonder why I turn away from you in the night. My lust is a setting sun, my hell is very lonely. I was murdered by my desire. All of our friends looked in all of the fountains for my body and never found me. When God was young, God was everywhere. Back then, the sky made love to everyone, the rivers, the lakes, and the oceans. In the beginning, there was the Word. Then came the flesh. And in the end, all that was left was the wound. Young God, trapped in amber, I knew it in my body. Their wrath was verdant. Tears of sap smote all their people. Back here in the same room, my eyes follow you from flower to blood through the tear gas. I lie across our bed, still sexy, but useless. Look around you. I have become a flood. All things in my path have found themselves destroyed. The four corners of my heart lie vivisected in the riot. He gestured okay in the red light, and you took my hand. I really only desire one thing, my so-called love. This is a poem that I wrote for my grandmother, who passed away a year ago. She was terrifying and not 5 feet tall and was born in 1919, and which is the year that we're often told that women gained the right to vote. My grandmother wasn't able to vote till the 1960s because she was an American Indian. And that's something that I often thought about. And before she died, she told me that she was really happy to die before this election. So she wouldn't have to make a decision. And then I asked her if she would have voted in the first place, and she said, of course not, but you have to tell people you did. And she was born 90 miles north of San Francisco. And to a teen mother, and was taken away from her mother. She was Kashaya Pomo in Russian, and was sent to an orphanage in Southern California, and was raised by a Methodist minister and his wife, who were also Native American, and took in children from other families. And, you know, grew up very ashamed of that. When she married my grandfather, who was a Russian immigrant, a Russian Jewish immigrant, they couldn't live together on the west side of Los Angeles and ended up moving into an unincorporated part of LA, which later became the San Gabriel Valley. I later found out that Julia Parker, who is a well-known, sorry, I talk a lot, you can always tell me to shut up. Julia Parker, who is a Coast Miwok Kashaya Pomo Indian woman, who's known for creating incredible baskets. I really do encourage you to look her up and her baskets. And she also teaches. She's also like 90 years old. Had also been taken by her family, like taken away from her family, and not told what tribe she was from. And I had a really difficult time with my grandmother's death and kind of with issues of identity and stuff. But also, you know, California is a land that's essentially drenched in blood. And I am so delighted that somebody decapitated Junipero Serra's statue outside of Santa Barbara. And I hope you share that delight with me. So this borrows from a few different cultural sources, the novel Ramona by Helen Hunt Jackson, the story of Juana Maria, who's known as the Lone Woman of San Nicolas, and dreams that I've had with my grandmother. So, somewhere in the Big Kelly Wild, I was stuck in the glossy rot, wearing a face that I had borrowed for the occasion. We took the 126 to the 5 to the 10, and you held the reins while I rode astride. I saw you look past me when you told me you loved me. An eternal fart floats above the ocean. Soon I will fall to the ground. I will become soft, then white, then shyly green. You jumped off the boat that we had thought was a floating whale to find me, but it was too late. The storm had come, and I had been torn to pieces by the wild dogs. A dancing ruby falls in a plastic cup, acorn mush cooking in asphalt dimple. I found you again in the river. Come along, let's get what's ours. Hand in hand, we climbed onto the banks. We look for the deer, lay in the sun and let go of the red bark, little seed, scrape the willow bark until it sings. Up to our thighs in the crying ice, hot tears running into the ocean. I'm so happy that you found me. Bring me the head of Junipero Serra on a platter of tar and gold. Your dress of green cormorant skin and feathers never got there. I stopped wearing the woven universe when my face stopped being a map, when the map began leading to a ruin. What good is the new life? Behind the mirror were the stars. Among the glowing and waning head of the disrespectful daughter, they stood shining. As the hours passed, they folded into themselves one by one until there was the darkness. Only say the word and I shall be healed. The dancing water replaces my tongue with a knife of lies. My voice carries the lash of a law I do not respect. I declare war on a war I have inherited. So we're gonna say fuck off to the phone. It's not funny when people cuss, guys. Come on. I guess it's funny when I cuss, but... So... Okay. This is a book about the apocalypse. But it's also a book about Nicaragua. And it's also a book about, it's essentially a book with pictures in it. Like Steve said, there are images in the book. There's some copies on the table. You can look at them if your hands are clean. You guys don't have to like me. I wrote this book for you. I will burn every copy and I will breathe in the smoke so that all of you that lingers in me can read it and maybe forgive me. I lied when I told you that if you were anything like me, you would fight for your life. Your mother's throat is the size of a needle's eye as she begs you to not let her hurt you. It was a bright day when they came for me. My family stood quietly on the patio as the basket was split open, and I rolled onto the concrete, coming to a stop by my uncle's dead car on cinder blocks. I presented them with my personal property. One paper conical cap perched upon red hair. One gold filigree ring with a hand of Miriam. One statue of Our Lady of Grace broken into four pieces. In my coat pocket, I'd found some wax in different colors that was malleable, and I made shapes for the children who, like me, it seemed, either had hyphenated names or no father, or their mother had probably been asked if she was their nanny while carrying them, or she had to work two jobs and left them with relatives who also had to work two jobs and left them with other relatives who either ignored them or beat them or raped them. In some cases, it was all of these things. Together we sat, crisscross applesauce, playing games, while they were getting ready to murder us during the morning rush in front of the ferry building. I was the only adult and arranged us to sit in a circle. Other adults, people who didn't fit into the seemingly arbitrary categories deemed fit for execution, passed us with lattes, looking at their phones. The authorities were distracted. The death apparatus wasn't working. It was a train. They were going to run us over with a train. And we were all kind of hungry. I began to look up at the commuters. They didn't deserve to be called adults, I decided, and scowl and gesture with my eyes through Red Rover and improvised four square with a ball of trash. The commuters then began to brush against us and would gently and discreetly take a child's hand. I blew on each child as a blessing. I'd then pass them onto the commuter and they'd disappear into the crowd. Eventually, I was left alone in the plaza, as if caught in some glass ceiling bardo, due to probably inscribing some sutra while unwittingly impure. So I ran away. The war started a while after I said I was going the fuck home. The war started soon after I turned around and walked away from you. The war started at some point while I was lost between San Pablo and Adeline, or right as I heard a whistle from afar, then the carrier of the whistle passing me by on a bicycle. The war started around noon in November, when the mornings feel like noon, noon feels like the afternoon feels like the evening, and the evening is devoured by one long night, and morning comes when no one is around. I couldn't even tell you which parties were at war, only that it'd been determined that I was unable to choose sides. And my inability, the perceived inability considered suddenly characteristic of people like myself, made me a piece of gristle in everyone's jaws, so of course I must be spit out. Everyone in considerably less peril resisted in the only way they really knew how. They spoke slowly. It was agreed that I was barren, and it was agreed that I was crazy because I was barren, and it was agreed that I was in danger. So we separated, and we'd been separated. I had thought I would see you at home, at your home, but then a war started. I went to what everyone else called my home, back to the room that my grandmother died in, and was not allowed to leave the house or have visitors or go out onto the cement patio where we'd once held rosaries and bautizo parties, and my mother had the giant image of La Virgen installed so that my grandmother could see her from her deathbed. I could only look out onto it, beyond the twisted wrought iron bars painted white, where my mother had claimed to have had a vision of Christ crucified on the morning that I was 9, and my grandmother's eyes rolled back and she bled from every orifice. A molleta made with yesterday's beans, the bolillo hard and dry. As I eat meals left for me on the stove, I notice my great-grandfather's sickle still between it and the wall. Rice mixed with beans mixed with sour cream, platanos cold and solid with oil. The sky is always purple here, and the water from the faucet is white. Cream of wheat that is all lumps, with blue bonnet and either brown sugar or soy sauce. I began visiting myself, unaware that I had company, so feeling ill at ease, yet watching myself panic. Barely missed gestures interpreted that I was unwanted, disbelieved and/or a threat. Caught glances before they dissolved into more focused contact. All food became reduced to violent texture, violent smell, violent color. The sensuality of jam demanded as ransom to a barely tolerated ghost. Feel your throat gradually tighten until it becomes like the eye of a needle. At night, you brush your many tails as the spirit possessing you bounces and plays with a ball inside your chest. In bath water, you dissolve. Light plays on surfaces while it sings. All things have songs, not all songs are joyful. The night is thick with demons. Oh, here's another picture. Sorry, it's a bad habit of like not using my hands to do things, turning stuff. Hmm. Also very feminine habit of apologizing for everything that I do, which is very bizarre and unbecoming, so I'm sorry. I woke up alone. In the morning, there were halved lovers in the streets. We found our tears had turned to bullets, and we couldn't find those we'd fallen asleep with. Our bodies adapted. We grew and split into mirrors. We blistered and replaced the meadows. Our milk became fire. My own body gradually faded into a prism, and I bled rainbows onto sidewalks as I crawled on my hands and knees calling for you. I wake up alone here. In hiding, I go on walks, a plastic lake to see a hawk, a palm tree stump rotted to the core, river rock satanic pit, climb up the clay trails to gaze at the smog, heavy veil of sage, crows are diving. Where's the air clear? Translucent sycamores, root searching for water, a specific gold fading to gray. If I died anywhere, it'd be no more coming to life. Buried with a house key in her mouth and a tap card in her back pocket. Tracked dirt onto the gold line, sitting in the back of the 81. The key doesn't fit, climbing through the bathroom window. Knock over the altar. Marigolds in a carpet, plate of snacks, clothes in my mom's taste lay over the back of a chair. Reluctant portrait in a frame. Shower head still broken, wrapped up in tape. Watching Veronica heat water to wash her hair with an electric kettle. Veronica wrapping her hair up in a bleach-stained towel. Veronica quietly singing. Veronica writing in beautiful cursive a note to me, unsure of what to say. Veronica singing to herself in the mirror, preening, the brown birthmark like an island on her breast. Veronica, your arm is glowing. I stop talking and eventually I stop eating, preferring to erase myself than live in hiding. I hear people come into the house during the day. My aunt comes in when it's still dark to wrap me in more blankets and to tell me that my grandmother's roses are dead. Is it winter, I ask? This is Los Angeles, my aunt tells me, meaning we have no winter here. The only roses I see anymore thank me from plastic bags. My aunt asks me, do you need anything? And I'm always needing but never asking, but today I say, yes, a rose. And she looks sad because I've only asked for one thing and I never ask for anything. And I know she's about to tell me something awful. So right, she says, there aren't any more roses anywhere. I anticipating that scream, which if you know me, that is something I never do. I ask for a pen and paper and I'm given an envelope and a burnt match. You went away, and when you'll come back, I could be a mother or dead or living in another place. You could die, you know, and no one would tell me. Why is it so hard to say I love you, but so easy to say I am hungry or no, I can't, even though those are typically difficult for me to say? What a selfish letter this is. What a selfish woman I am. I want to tell you where I am. A big box store on a cliff overlooking the ocean. Women making piles of rags, guiding other women, holding children, dressing wounds in line. Women rubbing charcoal of burned buildings onto their eyebrows, putting each other's blood on their lips, cheeks, and eyelids. Women braiding other women's hair. Women feeding other women. Women breaking open cinder blocks that stash seeds. Women tapping on beehives to let the bees know of a queen's death. Women teaching other women how to set a fire, how to rid a wound of venom, how to rub a leaf and smell it if it is safe to eat. Women preparing the dead. Women in circles writing poems, building off each other's verse. Women listening to other women. Women believing other women. Women being bad victims. Welcome to the city of single mothers. Somewhere beyond the parking lot, among young trees, timidly fecund and bearing fruit, sour and small, it was said, lived the bad girls, who escaped the institution, see, drop out. I'm sorry, I can't help it. feasting on placenta and nursing their illicit shame. My mother had once been among them in the worst days of severed joy. I was a traitor to their kind, but also a different kind of bad, enough for sororal love and enough for sororal caution. Can I check the time? You have to deal with me for 7 more minutes. Are we cool? Okay. I'm gonna push this off. I'm so sorry, guys. You guys have to put up with me, and it's like, you didn't ask for this. No, you did ask for this because you signed up for this class. So if you dropped out, you wouldn't have to be here. You are either one who walks the tightrope or parts the sea. We are each other's boyfriends. We are each a penny in the ashtray of each other's useless car. The car is out of gas, but it belongs to us all. The bus will never come. Here, there are no court dates. Women kneeling on folded fleece sweatshirts on clearance, biting on rope, giving birth in blue wave etched kiddie pool. Dip the rag into the bucket underneath the leak. Suck the rag, now kiss the woman behind you and let her drink from your lips. Who is seducing who here? Who is imagining the hand of a rainbow cupping a genital, caught wishing for a bed? The baby gets the thickest fit. A cutthroat upon a knife, a saint upon a spit. My lipstick round the lip, a cup of molten lead. Ring out the rain cloud, my cuddly gem. Oh, darling, darling, my sweet and careful darling. A panting wave burned an effigy, picking through rags while wearing your face to a meeting of a working group, working towards the destruction of this idea belief that women are a natural group. Gonna skip ahead. I had a teacher who read us the Bible. I'm not kidding. And I feel like I'm doing that to you guys. Just, and not that I wrote the Bible, but I'm like, is that my hype man? Do you guys want to hear about hell?
Yeah.
I have some, my niece refuses to say the word hell. That's pretty funny. She calls it H-E double hockey sticks. It's really good. All right, let's see. Oh God, this story is a disease. This story is a parasite. It's a parasite that was spat into my mouth as I screamed no and made love to my organs and swallowed them whole. This story has replaced my flesh. This story has become my lover. My lover isolated me and made me into a liar and made me see things and know things that no one believed, and when they came to pass, everyone forgot. I ran away and dove into hell to get away from this story. I swam across a river of molten fire, but still the visions floated in front of me. Still the not yet truth fell out of my mouth. I cut out my eyes and I cut out my tongue and I cut off my hands and walked through the winds and walked through the floods, and my blood still wrote prophecies on the ground, and the other damned mocked me. And at night, I would be in non-consensual ecstasy, feeling the lover swim through my veins and arteries and sucking me dry. They would regurgitate me and feed on me and whisper sweet nothings that I would offer as prophecies instead of moans. And my body became a sacrificial altar, and I would watch my skin pulsate and ripple. But sometimes I would feel my hair being brushed and braided, a light fingertip rubbing a balm on my lips, a warm drink poured into my mouth, hands gently grasping my wrists and guiding me. I would hear other moans and incantations and rants, and I would hear whispers of solidarity and promises of vengeance. Then suddenly my lover left me, and my hands grew back, and my eyes were my own, and I felt my tongue between my lips and my teeth. And my heart with its irregular beat and my stomach with its Virgo tendencies came back, and the pain in my right thigh returned. So I settled into hell, not worrying about whether my rent-controlled apartment would burn down, or about chronic pain, or whether my Medi-Cal would be canceled, or about being killed by a Google bus while riding my bicycle, or by the police responding to my mental health crisis. I met women who'd been buried alive for falling in love. I met women who died having back-alley abortions. I met anarchist whores. I met witches and women who had been accused of being witches. I met women who had killed rapists. I met women who couldn't feed their children and drowned them. And we wondered why we were there. We figured enough people believed that we belonged there. We tried to believe that we didn't exist to get ourselves out of there. And I'd come on my own, unsure if I was living or not. But between our tortures and humiliations that felt like life under patriarchy anyway, we organized study groups and skill shares and mocked our torturers and flirted with each other. Then my lover came back, and the women in hell tried to hide me and misdirect him, but I was blindfolded in a field of flames, swinging some sort of weapon, I'd say a bat, not knowing that what I thought were tiny demons crawling and clawing up my body were in fact my own children. I was dragged back up to the land of the living, and my lover, not caring that I was sick of love, actually preferred living in a perpetual storm. My protests fell on deaf ears. Even as my friends tried to hold me back, I was allowed to the surface, but given the head of a bull. The lover moved me somewhere lush and beige and complicit, into my childhood home, a white stucco dollhouse relic of single motherhood in academia. The neighbors stared at my taurine head and avoided me at the market. I was barred from coffee clutches, and no eggs or sugar were lent to me. During the day, I was locked in the house. Sometimes the lover took me apart limb by limb and placed me in a long, flat box. And at night, when the lover came home and turned into salt and lay me down onto our bed of ice until it melted, I rose up a cloud. I floated and wept through the house, and my hair grew long and serpentined through all the rooms, weaving itself into a braid that brushed the lover awake, then tightened with my hidden rage. I birthed two wolf cubs that I nursed on my knees, and my hair went about sweeping the floors, polishing the knives, washing the windows. I dressed them in my yellowed, mildewed baptismal gown and veil, and they chased the seed pearls that fell off and rolled across the dull wooden floor. For lunch, we ate my placenta and lapped up water from the glass under the bed, In the afternoon, I swaddled them with my hair and carried them on my back as they napped. One evening, the lover left the door open and we ran out, and the lover ran after us. My cubs told me to skin them to protect myself. That's me saying I went over. Do you guys want me to stop? I can stop. Okay. Sorry. My cubs told me to skin them to protect myself, which I did with my mother's machete. I wrapped their furs around my body and threw their corpses into a clay pot with some herbs and crystals, and they leapt out anew and at the lover's throat. I screamed and threw myself on everyone's doors, and I saw the curtains part, and I saw the other women try to come out, and I saw the men hold them back. The lover was bloodied and bitten in the middle of the cul-de-sac and begged me to cut them up and heal them. I did cut them up, wordlessly, as my braid whipped back and forth and knocked on doors. Everyone came out of their homes to watch me as I scraped the quartered lover into the pot and watched me not add the herbs, not add the crystals. I picked up the pot and smashed it against my house and immediately combusted. The fire jumped to the next house, then the next, and so on, and the neighbors recoiled and watched me remove my bull's head, and I showed them my face for the first time. I threw it into the fire, and I told them all that the world hates me, and I hate the world, and I will accept nothing but the destruction of the world. The venom of my words put the fire out. Fuck the police, break promesa, melt ice, and drop out. Thank you.